Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, it took a little longer than I expected, but at least we got up and running, right? This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you will find, of course, the news of the day, which I have been somewhat remiss in posting the last few days because I've been working. Well, hey, look, we're live from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. That's why I've been remiss. But you'll also find the pop-out player, and most importantly, the access to the chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com/chatroom is how you get there. It's free. It's easy. And above all, it's a darn good time. So pop on by if you never have before. It is 24 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And, yeah, that means we're 36 minutes late getting started. But under the circumstances, I'm happy to be getting started at all. So, we're sending. And hopefully you're receiving. This is nothing like being back in the home studio. Let's see. That should resolve in a moment. At least I hope so. Anyway, so pop on into the chat room, and by all means recall that this is always a listener supported operation. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. Also at headonradionetwork.com you'll find the traditional mail address if you prefer to send stuff in that way. Remember, checks and money orders should not be made payable to Bob Kincaid, but should be made payable to The Horn, so that Boss Man Wayne can leave off his spider-proof gloves, reach into the mailbox, and then send it on down to the financial institution which we use with which to pay our monthly, bills. So, lo and behold, let's see. When last we spoke, it was a week ago. It was prayer meeting Wednesday. On Thursday, we could not get a stream out because of We'll save my editorial comments about our ISP for later. And then Friday, of course, was an on-the-road day, and we've been in D.C. ever since. More or less. The family gathering for the... And thanks to those of you who asked, the family gathering for... the funeral at Arlington was, profound, deeply moving. Of course, there was a lot of family there and the folks I hadn't seen in decades. And it was good to reconnect. It was just very nice. And of course, it rained. Dear God, it rained. It was pouring down on Tuesday morning We got over to Arlington National Cemetery. The rain stopped. Everything just sort of held up long enough for the for all the military honors to be bestowed. And as soon as the funeral was over, the heavens reopened and it began pouring again. But it was indeed a magnificent, deeply inspiring time. And so that is what that's what consumed our Monday and Tuesday. This, of course, is Wednesday. And don't think I don't know it. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and among other things, well, we're gonna do prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Just to explain why I was late getting stuff going, well, the fact of the matter is the rig on the road is nothing quite like the rig back in the studio at the mansion. And some stuff works sometimes, and other times it doesn't. And it's a matter of figuring out what's going to work on which particular given day and what sort of permutations are going to have to be, we'll have to use in order to get things through. It never seems to fail, though. If I'm away from the microphone, crap blows up. Now, I can broadcast for weeks on end, months on end, without ever missing a day's broadcast. And let me step away from the microphone, and the next thing you know, you got a bunch of miserable moochin' teabaggers aiming guns at you know, the civil servants of we the people out in Nevada. Oh, you got that, and well, so much more. You've got, I guess just another day in America in many instances. And, of course, a general technical reminder, of course, a general technical reminder, and that is this. During the time that we're in D.C., the traditional telephone lines are not in service because I'm not at the studio and Agnes isn't back there producing. Agnes is here with us. Us being the other members of the family, not me and that mouse in my pocket. So the way we will do the conversation part of conversation radio while I'm here, which will be today, tomorrow night, and Friday evening, is via Skype. And what I've got planned, at least in the interim, I had a brief conversation, just checking out the audio, had a brief conversation with longtime Horn chat room moderator Sparky, and of course moderator of the Horn Molloy Skype chat group, and we're going to do a sort of Wednesday on the front porch, Thursday on the front porch, and Friday on the front porch. So if you have never participated in the Horn Molloy Skype chat group and you got something you feel like you need to say during the course of the program, send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc on Skype, and we'll try to make you part of the group. Where to begin? This being prayer meeting Wednesday, I'm not gonna jump through all the prayer meeting Wednesday hoops, but I do have a little something here that seems more than apropos for a prayer meeting Wednesday. It comes from Funny or Die, and you know that the right wing have been having a series of hissies over, well, Cosmos and Neil deGrasse Tyson's reboot of the Carl Sagan classic. Reliably, the folks over at Funny or Die have responded more than admirably to this lunacy. And, well, even without the video, it's still pretty darn funny.
Sure. black hole, an enormous well of gravity in the very fabric of space. But what do we know about black holes? What are they, really? They don't exist. If it doesn't say anything about it in this book, then you,
the Bible,
need to think about it.
Creationist cosmos.
Our vast, infinite universe has been the source of questions since the dawn of mankind. But all those questions can be answered quite easily. The answer is, God did it. In this beautiful white church minivan, we can go anywhere. From the event horizon of a wormhole to the picketing of a Planned Parenthood. We all know God lives in heaven. But what do we see when we look to the heavens? Planets? Stars? Constellations? I see something. A man's face. That man is God. So God is just some old white man with a big bushy beard looking down on us from heaven? Yes. Yes, he is. But who created the heavens and the stars? God. Why did he do that? Tisk, tisk, tisk. That's not for you to question or know. We know from fossil records that our planet was once ruled by giant, ferocious reptiles. And what happened to them? Nothing. They never existed. Satan put these fossils on Earth to trick you. Did he get you? Don't worry about it. It's never too late to come back into the fold. Satan, you old jokester. Carl Sagan said, "We are all made of star stuff." And he was right. But God made that star stuff. We are all made of star stuff. Except for women, who are made from the rib of a man. And what about the sun? God made it. The only sun you need to be thinking about is the holy sun, Jesus. The moon. Man walked on it. God made it. Ants? God made them. Dogs? God made them. Trees? God made them. Gay people? God didn't make them. They chose that for themselves. Cars? America made them, but God made America. Sandwiches? God made them. Everything. God made it. Well, we were supposed to do 6 more episodes, but we seem to have answered all of your questions in the first 2 minutes, so we are going to air color bars with subliminal messages for the rest of our time. I'm Jared, community outreach leader of the Creationist Baptist Church of Alabama. Thank you for your time. God bless. Goodbye.
It just had to be Alabama, didn't it? It just had to be Alabama. Now, remember, you can go to funnyordie.com, funnyordie.com, and look for Creationist Cosmos if you want to see the video end of it. And I'll spoil. Here's a spoiler. There is a beautiful sight gag about just how damn dumb fundies are. Buried within the within the video. You heard that line about God invented sandwiches or God made sandwiches. The video includes hands reaching over to get a slice of pizza. I do so love subtle humor, and it doesn't get much more subtle than that. So, you know, it's a perfect place to start prayer meeting Wednesday. Because fundies. They're all paranoided up now, by the way, the fundies are. Last night was the blood. See, I don't have my reverb here, damn it. Last night was the blood moon. And, of course, Pastor John Starve Hagee has told us time and time and time again that the blood moon, signifies big doings for Israel. Like in 1492, there was a blood moon, and all the Israelites was thrown out of Spain by Queen Isabella. oddly enough, apparently the blood moon does not have significance, say, for all the Muslims who were thrown out of Spain at the same time. Nope, not their blood moon. That's an Israelite blood moon. But, first of all, he kind of coins the term blood moon. It's a freaking lunar eclipse, okay? And that's the thing, you know, the fundies, you know, they, you know, suffer not a witch to live. And then they go running around talking about how they're believing in magic. No, I am not going to play Do You Believe in Magic in a Young Girl's Heart. You can't make me. I'm not gonna. But it's that kind of stuff that makes them so utterly ridiculous. On the one hand, they don't believe in magic. But on the other hand, lunar eclipses, which can be predicted with regularity throughout the eons by function of mathematics and astronomy, oh, they do. I mean, they have astrological significance. Now, these are the same fundies who, if they catch you with a Ouija board, will swear that you've just been possessed by the devil. Or if they catch you reading your horoscope, will tell you that you're being influenced and possibly even possessed by Satan. But if they, on the other hand, declare that there is something astrological happening in the skies, well, that's just God's miraculous love in motion. Yeesh. But yeah, they got themselves all up in a lather over the blood moon, and I guess there's going to be a few more lunar eclipses. Wasn't there, and the astronomically inclined can check in on this and tell me later, but wasn't there also a lunar eclipse? Oh, I'm thinking, what, somewhere around April or May of 1453? Maybe 52? Doesn't that coincide with the fall of Constantinople? then again, if you wanted to, you could pick out every lunar eclipse of the last 1,000 years and attach it to some historical happening somewhere. But the only ones that matter are the ones that Pastor John Starve Hagee can use to rustle up and hustle up a buck. What a racket. But it doesn't take a lot to get a fundy particularly worked up. Consider the following. By the way, Asa pointing out, prayer meeting Wednesday is just not the same without the minister of music, Bob. And I know. But we have certain technical limitations that attach to this process when I'm not in the studio at the mansion. Flush Flimball has a 27-room mansion that he shares with his maid and a cat and the wife he keeps in a pit. Ours isn't nearly so big or nearly so luxurious. Dear God, I was over at the Esquire Politics blog, which is run by Charlie Pierce, and he actually posted a photograph that he found online somewhere of Flush Flimball's bedroom. Honest to God, the man apparently thinks he's Louis XIV. Holy mackerel. Murals on the ceiling and pink champagne on ice, and I guess he's just a prisoner there of his own device. Just that no one's gotten around to stabbing the beast with their steely knives, dadgummit. But I know what it was. He got himself all up in a lather over the naming of Stephen Colbert as the successor to David Letterman, declaring that that CBS had gone full on leftist, my friends. There is no further. Oh, Jesus, shut up. Yes, absolutely, Jeremy. Bob, you and your damn scientific facts. We all know the Bible is cold, hard fact. Not. Oh, I know. But at least it makes Wednesdays a little more interesting than they otherwise would be. Yeah, Flimball's upset that Stephen Colbert is going to succeed David Letterman. I guess somewhere back in amongst the little castings that are left by the spirochete syphilitic worms that run through Flimball's brain, I guess he thinks that he would be a fitting. I mean, and hey, you know, if CBS wanted somebody to occupy that time slot, and I said slot, and call women sluts, and maybe talk about how African American quarterbacks aren't as talented as white quarterbacks. Maybe Flush Flimball would be their guy, but I'm guessing that CBS doesn't want that. More on Flimball in a minute, just because. I mean, for pity's sakes. Really? CBS has become a socialist network because Stephen Colbert is oh, Jesus. But that's what, you know, that's where you have to do. And I've said this before. The problem with being a right-wing radio host is that you're constantly having to one-up the competition. And in this instance, you know, he used to be the standard bearer. He used to be the watch by which other wingnut watches were set. But he's been eclipsed. His sun has set. His race is run. And now he's scrambling to catch up with the lunacy of, say, Alex Jones. Note coming in from Dr. John. Subject line: living in a demon-haunted world. Dr. John says, channeling Carl Sagan here, obviously. What empty, boring lives these fundies lead. Rather than look at a lunar eclipse and ponder the fantastic wonder of celestial bodies in motion, the great dance of the universe, these people want to cower under the sheets in fear of what their invisible friend is trying to tell us. Dr. John says, I feel a bit sorry for them, to tell you the truth. And quite often I feel sorry for them as well. But then I remember that they want to run this country and stone the likes of you, Dr. John, and me, and everybody in the Horn family commune to death. Assuming, of course, that we would be unwilling to confess their Christ and live by their principles and their values and let them lord it over the rest of us. When I think about that, all the pity just goes right out the window. Sorry. Yeah. What else is out there, though? No, the Wingnuts had a freak out recently because a spoof, a joke, and you know, they're forever getting burned by this stuff. A giggle completely, you know, what's that saying from The Lion in Winter? Catherine Hepburn as Eleanor of Aquitaine uses it. I guess Simon Pure and Simon Simple. This is one of those, I suspect. Let's see. Good suggestion just coming in from Sparky, and I need to take care of this real quick. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Sparky. Just put a tweet out that we are, in fact, running live. No, oh, dear God. And again, you want to feel sorry for them, but then you realize that, no, I don't think so. And I've got a pretty good story of why we shouldn't feel sorry for them later on. It's not just that they live in a demon-haunted world, a world where where natural law doesn't necessarily work or doesn't work all the time. Sometimes things that the moon does are, the way they explain it, yeah, sure, you can explain a lunar eclipse and go back thousands upon thousands of years and forward into the future thousands of years. But all of those lunar eclipses were planned by God at the very beginning so that scientists who think they know things are merely confirming the glory of the Lord. You got that? Yeah, me either. So enter the following story. And this is all current stuff. It is as if Prayer Meeting Wednesday was written for us. Topinfopost.com has the story. Don't bother. The heading, the category for the individual story is hoax/bin. Hoax, H-O-A-X, as in not real. Headline: all European newborn babies will be microchipped from May 2014. And you can just see the little Baptists and the Methodists and the Pentecostals and the Charismatics and the Fundies of all stripes. Really? Vlad Dmitrievich is the author of the story. This actually goes back to January of this year. And it says, on May 2014, through Europe, newborn children will be compelled to take in a subcutaneous RFID chip. Now, you may remember that RFID chips are one of those bete noirs of the right wing. They're quite convinced that one of these days we're all going to be RFID chipped. Remember the hissy they threw over an RFID? No, it was a thumbprint scanner, wasn't it? For lunch bills at a school in Texas, and you had the Dacron polyester crowd standing in front of camera. I ain't going to let my young'un eat no more food, because they have to show the mark of the beast at school. Public clinics in the European Union are to be alerted. The chip in inquiry, now I'm just reading this as it's read. Maybe it was translated from somewhere else. The chip in inquiry will be contributed with the report sheet on the newborn. This chip will also be an impressive GPS sensor that will task with a micro-disposable battery every 2 years in state clinics. No, really. GPS chip grants an edge of error of 5 meters as a statement that it is excellent. Which the English grammar and syntax here clearly ain't. It will be linked straight to a satellite. Really? Straight to a satellite? I'll be damned. I didn't know satellites had it. Never mind. Which will guide the networks. As forecasted, this chip will be essential for all kids born after May 2014, but with a present confirmation date until December 2016, whatever that means. Related stories. Former DARPA director wants you to swallow ID microchips. All Americans microchipped by 2017. The word hoax there. Didn't even slow the fundies down. It's a hoax. Oh, well. The fundies who live in a world where reality is at best a superfluity, well, they were off and running. This thing went through Facebook like poop through a goose. Just a straight shot from the eyeballs to the fingertips in this case. All caps, Facebook. Open your eyes, a lot of e-popple. No, really, e-popple. That would be people for the rest of us. Open your, all caps again, but I'm not going to scream. Open your eyes, a lot of e-popple just don't want to see it, posted one Facebook user. We are seeing everything unfold as told in the Bible. A lot, A-L-O-T, of evil going on. It is not a coincidence. These people write like the aliens from Galaxy Quest. You are our only hope. We need your help. We are seeing everything unfold as told in the Bible. A lot of evil going on. It is not a coincidence. These things are happening whether you choose to believe it or not. And then, of course, there's this. Sweet Jesus, there's this. Keep scoffing about Jesus. The Antichrist is working now. It's prophesied. No, really. Prophesied. And this isn't just picking on people for not being able to spell. This is not the difference between T-H-E and T-E-H. It's prophesied. For those of you playing at home, that's P-R-O-P-H-E-R-S-I-E-D. In the Bible. Get your own copy before the Bible is banned from EU. You know what? When they do it, I'll bet they burn the Gutenberg Bibles even. Because that's how the Antichrist is. Then there's this, which goes back to Dr. John's reference to the demon-haunted world. This science... Stop. Oh, stop me before I read again. Science is only based on what we know. I'm kind of proud that science got that far with this fundy. Science is only based on what we know. Dr. John, are you there? Which furniture are you kicking this evening? Would it be the charming old Chesterfield? Or perhaps the three-legged, moss-covered family credenza? Because I'd have to be real choosy about which furniture I kicked over a statement like that. Science is only based on what we know. Theories change from left to right. Really? The tides go in, the tides go out, it's all Bill O'Reilly's fault. Theories change from left to right. Our own existence is a very short moment in time. This is all God creation. I agree that there is free energy. Where? Tell me, somebody please. But it evil and greedy people who love money do their best to terminate it. Personally, I believe in science. But what? God, I need my reverb. What if God is science? So just pay attention. I mean, for instance, like this blood moon business, all of a sudden it sort of blew up all over the interweb tubes when you and I had talked about this, what, a month and a half, 2 months ago? The blood moon of Israel. So when next you run across some fundy who is screaming about how they're going to microchip all the Europe babies, well, you can at least giggle a little bit, because it is kind of funny. I mean, until you remember it. Perfect response, Dr. John. Furniture shot, kicking the liver instead. Of course the hoax label doesn't dissuade these people, Dr. John says. They're Bible-believing fundies, Bob. Yeah, they are. I mean, saying it's a hoax probably means that it's just extra,
extra super duper sneaky on the part of that old devil. Oh, Lord. And then there's our old friend. No, he's not. I mean, if Sean Hannity is a life support system for a haircut, what the is Brian Fisher? I mean, besides a proud son of Stanford University. Still, I'll never get over that. And I will forever remember Brian Fisher as a proud son of Stanford University. I guess he's the one that got away. Brian Fisher worships a Jesus, I guess, who was not crucified, or who was not, all those verses about how you treat the poor that Jesus goes on and on about. I mean, it got to where they wouldn't invite him to parties anymore. Hey, Jesus, you want to come to the party? Well, what are you doing for the poor? Oh, never mind, killjoy. Now, Jesus was apparently, according to Brian Fisher, a very, very wealthy man. Hence, and to wit, just a second here. Let's get him all backed up. Here we go.
President Obama and the left, they want to go after the 1%. They're getting rich off of your hide. They've cheated. They've defrauded. They swindled to get to the top. They're mean. They're bad, evil people. But the reality is that the higher earners' share of the overall federal tax burden has been climbing steadily even before lawmakers negotiated the fiscal cliff deal at the end of 2012. This is John D. McKinnon from the Wall Street Journal. Largely as a result, listen to this, overall federal receipts from the top 1% of earners rose by 1.3 percentage points to 29.3% of all federal tax revenue. Now, they control about 17% of the wealth, but they pay almost 30%, 29.3% of all federal tax revenue. Top 1% are funding 30% of the government. So,
can I interrupt here for a second? Because there's that passage from the book of Matthew where the rich man comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, what do I have to do to receive eternal life? And without batting an eyelash, without missing a beat, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, turns to him and says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And the next thing you know, in the Gospels, it says that the guy went away and he was really sad because he just didn't want to do that. Did Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter and itinerant, semi-literate, day laborer, rabbi, did he say, give 30% of your stuff to the poor? No. He said, give it all. And so here's Brian Fisher with this this perfect hair, bitching because of an effective tax rate of what?
Rather than the poor and the low income and the middle class being resentful of these people, they should be kissing the ground on which they walk. Who?
Excuse me. Time out. Okay, Jack. Time out. If you're kissing the ground where somebody walks, and I want to work through this slowly and properly, but if you're kissing the ground where somebody walks, doesn't that mean you're engaging in something approaching, you know, worship? Because we know that the woman
with an issue of blood, sought to simply touch the hem of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi's garment, at which point she was, the book says, healed. You know, take that with a grain of whatever. But did I miss it, or did Brian Fisher just suggest that us no good mooching, grubbing poors and middle classes, that we get busy and start worshiping the rich? Now, remember, this is a guy who damned well insists that we have a copy of the Ten Commandments, which has there's a suggestion in there, isn't there, about thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you're kissing the ground of the 1%, aren't you putting somebody else in front of that? Yeah, I know.
Who's paying for the EBT cards? Who's paying for food stamps? Who's paying for the Women and Infant Children program? Who's paying for subsidized housing?
Well, they're not paying nearly as much as they were. I mean, that's a reality. Dollar a day and don't eat it all in one place, poor buster.
Who's paying for Medicaid? It is the top 1%.
So no. He just said that the top 1% is paying for 30% of the government. Can we turn that on its ear for a moment? Doesn't that mean that the 99% are paying for 70% of the government? Yeah, oops. Oh, there goes that miracle math made difficult.
Got to be given ticker tape parades once a week in all of our major cities to thank them for funding welfare for everybody. You know, it's...
Excuse me? What, Edith? Funding welfare for everybody? Does that mean the entirety of the 99% is out there getting a government money check? Does that mean that people who are making a modest income are getting some sort of SNAP benefits? Does that mean that finally, yea, verily, the day of Jubilee hath arrived and everybody is getting universal single-payer health care? Because I don't think so. This proud son of Stanford doesn't live in the same. Is this one of those dancing Wu Lee Masters physics exercises where we're getting transmissions from a parallel universe, a parallel America, a parallel Earth? And Brian Fisher's pissed off because he lives in an America where everybody's got health care, everybody's got enough to eat, everybody has enough has appropriate shelter and clothing and education, and all their needs are met. Is that what this is? Because he's not describing so everybody can have welfare. He's not describing an America in which I or you or we live.
I've got this in the stack here somewhere about where our tax money goes. Here it is. Amy Payne from the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, she's from the Heritage Foundation. This should be a real Lulu. Maybe all that money's going to those Hispanics that the Heritage Foundation thinks can never learn quite as well as white people.
Listen to this.
Do we have to? Yes, sadly, we do.
People don't know this. I want you to fix this. This is going to be our Fisher factoid of the day.
Fisher factoid of the day? Doesn't that sound like something that you go to a proctologist to get fixed? A Fisher factoid? Yeah, I think it's impacted, Mr. Ryan. Yeah, it's stuck up there. Here, let me get the coat hanger.
Entitlements right now gobble up 49% of your tax dollars. Other federal, and that's Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. We call
only since he's counting Social Security in that, it means he's lying. because it's not part of the process. In point of fact, you know, I noted at the beginning of the program, we're broadcasting live from Capitol Hill this evening and will be tomorrow and the following day. And yes, thank you, Jeremy. Some of this is beginning to get to Jeremy from Vermont. Beeping God, God, will you please send a well-placed lightning bolt onto this horse's ass who claims to represent you? Well, you know, if he was real, he might actually do that, Jeremy, but that's where the rub is. No, we were driving past the Pentagon on our way to and from a couple of the events, and I just pointed out the window to the Pentagon, and I said, "Hey, guys, look at that." And Ferg says, "Yeah, it's the Pentagon." I said, "Oh, it's more than that, son." Dad, he says. I says, "Yeah." I said, "That's not just the Pentagon. That's not just the home of the military. That's not just the Department of Defense. That's why we can't have nice things in this country. That's why we can't have universal single-payer health care. That's why we can't have free college-level education for every citizen in this nation. That's why 40,000 people die every year for want of access to health care. That is why SNAP benefits are down around a dollar a day. That's why our educational system is in a shambles. That building is why our roads are returning to their original gravel state. That's why bridges collapse. That's why we can't have a meaningful minimum wage in this country. Right there, that building, is why America is no longer a great nation, but has become a once great nation." Yeah? Yeah.
Those entitlements, even though nobody's entitled to them, the Congress, according to the way the laws are written, can change the formula, the distribution, anytime they want. Nobody's entitled to anything under Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security. Those can be changed anytime, and they have repeatedly in the past. But they're called entitlements because the myth is that people are entitled to them. They're legally entitled to what's coming to them.
The myth that people need food to survive, the myth that people need a roof over their heads, the myth that people need to not freeze to death in the winter, the myth that people need not to die from heat prostration and heat stroke in the summer. You know, myths. Oddly enough, if this guy's talking about a woman 6,000 years ago having a conversation with a goddamn reptile, that's not a myth. Especially the part where the reptile talks back. On the other hand, all those things that his alleged savior, please tell me, well, he's playing by the, he believes all the right stuff. Let's remember, Brian Fisher believes that Jesus was born of a virgin, even though no other human being's ever been. Jesus was born of a virgin, prophesied, and he grew up, and he preached, and he healed the sick, and raised the dead, and got nailed up on the cross, and taken down from the cross, and stuck in a hole, and they rolled the stone over it, and 3 days later, they rolled it back, and Jesus walked out, and saw his shadow, and went back in, didn't come out for 6 more weeks. No, I messed that part up. No, the dead rose from the dead, and then ascended to the heavens, where he lives with the right hand of God. And Brian believes all that, so that means when Brian gets all dead, Brian gets to go and live with Jeebus. Oh, mercy. But Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, one of the more significant statements that he made during his so-called ministry was that if you've not fed the poor, if you've not fed the hungry, if you've not clothed the naked, if you've not visited the sick in the hospital, if you've not visited the imprisoned in prison, if you've not attended to the needs of the least of these, my brothers,
you've not done it also unto me. I mean, that's what he said. But apparently, old Brian Fisher here, with his fabulous hair and his Stanford degree, is willing to tell Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer to take a flying leap off a wandering white donkey's back. Hey, is that, by the way, this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Is this some sort of special Wednesday for the Christians? Is this the day when they get rubbed down with barbecue grease or something? Because I know Easter comes on 420 this year, and really 2014 is quite the year, isn't it? It's been the year thus far that gave us the Super Bowl between a team from Washington and a team from Colorado, in which we made the cultural argument that maybe that was a sign, you know, kind of like a blood moon, only with, you know, it was a sign that maybe the things were changing. And then lo and behold, here comes next Sunday, and next Sunday's 420 and it's Easter. I guess we know what Jesus is going to be doing on that great getting up morning, don't you? Here. Yeah.
They get to a certain age. Well, there is no legal entitlement to resources at any point. And the reality is, in 20 years, there's going to be no money for Social Security at all.
Ye generation of vipers, you sorry, sorry liar. There is absolutely no problem with the solvency of the Social Security program, save for the fact that by 2037, it will have to be modestly tweaked in order to maintain benefits at their present levels. And then, of course, because you know these things ever so much better than I do, well, daggone it. The problem is soluble. It is not intractable. What do you say we lift the cap on Social Security? What do you say we lower the retirement age and bring lots and lots of young 18 and 20 and 22 and 24-year-olds into the workforce? What do you say we solve the immigration so-called problem? The net positives to be gained out of that are so far in excess of any net negatives. But you know why? You know, the fact of the matter is, you know who knows that those net positives are net positives better than anybody else in the world? Wingnuts. Right-wingers. And it would solve any problems associated with Social Security. And that's why they never mention them. Because in its essence, what it is that right-wingers despise is the very idea of Social Security. They're not worried about the solvency of Social Security. When Social Security was enacted into law in the 1930s, it was done without a single Republican vote. And they swore then that Social Security would collapse America's economy, and it would be the end of freedom, and all of our Frisbees and wheat checks would just go away. Yeah. And so those Republicans who were pissed off about Social Security told their sons. And their sons grew up and were pissed off about Social Security. And they said, someday we'll kill it. And they told their sons. And their sons told their sons. And their sons told their sons. Until you get the Reagan Revolution in 1981 and the beginning of the long, dark, steep, miserable, downhill slide into the twilight of the American Republic begins. And now, the great-great-grandsons of the people who swore they would stop Social Security have gotten close enough
that they can almost see the end of it, and it's beginning to make them masturbate. Oh, they love thinking about the end of Social Security and how it's going to collapse because of all those undeserving people getting all of their money. Jesus.
Now, so these major entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, gobble up 49% of tax revenues. A half of federal tax revenues go to entitlements. These are redistribution.
So at 49%, but we already know that's a lie, eh? How much of the federal budget does the Pentagon eat up with its ravenous, ever-open, ever-consuming gob? Yeah. It's kind of like that time that the friend of mine pointed out. He said, you know, they say that 48% of traffic fatalities are caused by drunk drivers. And he looked at me and said, doesn't that mean 52% are caused by sober ones? It's the other side of that coin that'll bust your ass every time.
...of wealth. That's what Medicare is. It is a redistribution of wealth. Right now, it's a redistribution of wealth from young taxpayers to old retirees. Medicaid is a redistribution of wealth from working Americans to low-income Americans.
Notice the bullshit dichotomy. Medicaid is a redistribution of wealth from working Americans to low-income Americans. Do you notice how that implies that low-income Americans aren't working? And again, this guy's a preacher. This guy is a servant of the Son of God, the God of love. The guy who wandered around Palestine telling people to love their neighbor as themselves. Well, maybe Brian Fisher's doing that, the only problem being that he hates himself. Yep, that's right. The poors are low income, and that means they're not working. I wonder how often. Then again, he's probably paid enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of elephants with wet $100 bills. Wonder how often Brian Fisher walks into Wally World. Do you? Because I do. How often does Brian Fisher walk into Wally World? Because all Brian Fisher has to do is walk into Wally World one time and actually see one of those people wearing one of those stupid blue vests with the smiley face on him. You want to talk about your mark of the beast. And he'll be looking square in the eye of one of those low-income Americans who's the beneficiary of all that wealth redistribution. What does Brian Fisher want him to do? Just die? Hey, you know what? Between denying Walmart workers health care and convincing them not to vaccinate their children, well, goodness me, you've almost got a little genocidal party going on there, don't you?
Social Security is a transfer of wealth from young working Americans to older retired Americans.
Which, of course, is also bullshit. But never mind.
Bit of this is the involuntary transfer of wealth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's socialism.
And me without my tequila bottle and without my straw. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Social Security. That's Medicaid. That's Medicare. Ladies and gentlemen, that's socialism. Then give me more. Give me the real stuff. Give me the straight stuff. Never mind the chaser. Never mind the mixer. No sidecar. No rocks.
straight up. Give me a functioning public education system. Give me public school teachers who are paid as well as doctors. And give me shortstops that are paid as well as Walmart workers. Give me small forwards in the NBA who are paid as well as undocumented immigrants. See how quickly things would change. Give me American Family Association radio hosts who are paid as well as the liberals are. Yeah. Yeah, give me some of that socialism. Louis Black, the brilliant comedian, had an appearance at the National Press Club, in which he addressed some issues relating to socialism. You might find this interesting, because he is a very, very intelligent man, for starters, but he also makes a case for just exactly where the United States is relative to socialism. Check this out.
Watching C-SPAN and public, whatever you are out there, I may use profanity, so tough. Because I can't work and really speak without using it, talking about some of the things I'll talk about. If I make it through the whole thing, it'll be exciting for both of us. I want to thank all who are up here on the dais with me, just so I could say the word dais. It is the only time you use that word, and I really would like to thank my friends who are joining me today, and I think are absolute proof if you look at Tory to Barry Lynn, I have the entire political spectrum of Washington. So when people say, "Well, he was right to say that I do say that I'm a socialist, and I am a socialist, and that is about as powerless a position as you can be in the United States." And I really just wanted to start with that, because the idea of calling anyone, outside of maybe Bernie Sanders, a socialist, to call Obama a socialist is, you have got to be out of your goddamn mind. There are 7 socialists left in the country, and if you really want to see the leadership of the Socialist Party, you can go to a cemetery and find them. We have no effect. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, you actually read about them, and I can't imagine that in many of the history books, which have also kind of forgotten evolution is a real thing, that socialism is really even discussed historically. I kind of got this background from my parents, who are here today, and my father was a mechanical engineer, and my mother was a school teacher, and they are really the ones who shaped the way that I look at things. So if anything upsets you, they're here. You can discuss it with them.
Yeah. All kidding aside, that's truth. Meanwhile, having a program out there that keeps our elderly, the elderly people who, while they're working, have paid in day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, somehow that's wealth redistribution and it's socialism. And Brian Fisher much prefers the idea of a pre-Social Security America when the vast majority of our elderly population were in poverty. That's the America Brian Fisher loves.
And right now it's up to 49% for these entitlements. If you add in other federal benefits, that's another 20%. That's federal employee retirement. That's unemployment benefits, welfare.
Wait, we're up to 69%. Where the F is the Pentagon? I'm asking, really, seriously. Did I miss something? I mean, I drove by it yesterday. There were no everything must go signs hanging outside the Pentagon. It hadn't been replaced by those, you know, everything's a dollar logos. Jesus.
Programs such as food stamps and housing insurance, that's another 20%. So listen to 69%.
Notice how easily he gets to 69. Just saying. I mean, he is a fundy.
69% of tax revenue right now goes into the involuntary redistribution of wealth. 69%.
Well, I think if you're at 69, then pretty much you've moved past social. You're into communism now. I don't think it's anarcho-syndicalism. Of course, then again, you could always go to the writings of Paul of Tarsus. Thanks, Irish Dave. And maybe note that that line about how in the early days of the church, all people held all things in common, which is sort of the origins of communism. Oh, dear.
What that makes us, ladies and gentlemen, that makes us a socialist country. This is Marxism on display.
Oh, poor Dr. John's liver. Oh, no. Score on the short side.
Each according to his ability, to each according to his need. That is Marxism. That's what we've got right now. 69% of the tax dollars that are collected from American citizens are given to other people.
Aren't you glad that you don't live inside Brian Fisher's skull? And all this makes him want to worship. He's the one that kissed the ground that the 1% walks on. I think he must have read that Koch brother editorial in the Wall Street Journal, and he's angling for a little bit of Koch money. Dr. John pointing out, no, if you're kissing the ground the 1% walks on, that means they're walking on you. Brian Fisher's vision of humanity, the rich stomping the face of the poor. Eternally. Curb stomping as economic theory. Well, I'll be damned. Dr. John also pointing out, where did your 2013 tax dollars go? Wow, amazing how this works. Total confirmation of your point just crossed my Twitter. Maybe you could describe the chart? I'll try. Okay, where did your tax dollars go? Oh, dear. It is a chart which is made up of a $1 bill. And since most of us know what a $1 bill looks like, if we're working from left to right, then there's a line cutting the dollar just to the left of the letter that designates which Federal Reserve Bank the note came from, and right in front of the U in United. That is 27% of that dollar bill. Guess who gets it? No, not the poors. No, not those greedy old people. No, not those people wanting health care who work at Walmart and stock the shelves. So when Brian Fisher needs a really big cucumber or something, that he can just go and get one at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when he's not sleeping so well. No, hell no, that's the military. 27 cents. Then the second chunk, the line runs right through, as you're looking at it, the left eye of George Washington. Not George Washington's left eye, the left eye as you're looking at George. And right beside the, right to the right of the A in states. That's 22.7 cents. And that is health care of one kind or another. That's not all Medicare. That's not all Medicaid. And hey, a lot of that now is, I guess that's socialism too. That's all those millions of dollars we're giving to the for-profit healthcare insurance industry as a part of the Affordable Care Act, because it was the best we could do was the Heritage Foundation's plan. That's 22.7%. 13.9%, which goes from the in front of the T in states, second T in states, to the beginning of the A in America. That's interest on the federal debt. Hey, where did that federal debt come from? I seem to recall this little dust-up that started in, and remember, we didn't have to go into it. It was not mandatory. Nobody was shooting or throwing or blasting anything at us. No. 13.9% federal debt, most of which was driven up by George W. Bush, who said, F Saddam, we're taking him out. Unemployment and labor costs, 9.8 cents out of every dollar. Man, it's funny how we get from 27 cents to 22.7 to 13, and now we're fooling around with less than a dime. Less than a dime of every federal tax dollar goes to unemployment and labor. And then we've got another strip that has to be cut into two pieces. It goes from the R in America to just a little past the final A in America, but it gets cut in two. We spend 27 cents on the military, but we spend 5.1 cents on veterans benefits, you know, for the military that we don't much care about anymore. A nickel goes to food and agriculture. That would include your SNAP benefits. It's not even a whole strip, a whole piece of a dollar. It's a piece of a dollar. Then there's another piece of a dollar that's 4.5 cents to just running the government. And then there's another piece of a dollar that's housing and community. And then there's a wee little itsy-bitsy, tiny, teensy-weensy, next-to-nothing strip called education, and that's 2 cents. Talk about, let me give you my 2 cents worth. It's happening all across the country in education. But it's only a piece of a piece. The other 1.9 cents are going to energy and, well, that eternal mooch, the dadgummed environment. Because it's not, the energy and the environment are not quite worth 2 cents. It's 1.9. And then the final piece of a dollar is actually three pieces. International affairs, which includes maybe the food that we send to starving people in starving countries, that's 1.5 cents. Transportation, that's 1.4 cents. Because who needs those socialist railroads? You know, for those socialists who like to travel by rail. And thank you, Dr. John, for this, because it answers so daggum many questions. Then there's that last piece of a dollar. And it's that strip of the dollar that doesn't have any ink printed on it. It's just the border of the dollar. And it's cut in three pieces. One of them is 1.5 cents for international affairs. Another one's 1.4 pennies for transportation. And then the last little pissant piece of a penny, 1.1 cents out of 100, 1.1% of every tax dollar that goes to the federal government goes to sit down if you must. Upend a bottle of rot gut if you need. Kick furniture if that feels better. Or just sit and weep. 1.1 cent out of every tax dollar goes to science. Science. Because generals challenging the seams of their uniforms and having lobster on their cornflakes at the Pentagon is worth so much more, oh, so much more, than science. I could cry. Going back to Brian Fisher's assertion of, you know, and that's socialism, Dr. John says, what this asshat doesn't know about Marx could fill volumes. My response could fill volumes, too, but I'll limit it to this. In that clever German's vision of a post-capitalist future, everybody works. Two big differences from today's world, or rather the world of the mid-19th century, which was just like ours, only less so. One, there is no exploitative relationship because the benefits of your labor accrue entirely to you, with no boss to skim his profit out of your finite lifespan. Two, pardon me if I say that sounds rather Christ-like. Two, the necessary, nasty, deadly work is automated, not performed by desperate people who need a wage. And three, people do what they want to do. Maybe sometimes you pitch in at your neighborhood solar and wind farm. Okay, I'm projecting a bit here, says Dr. John. Maybe other times you write a piece for your local newspaper. Maybe other days you pitch in at the local daycare center or elementary school. Regardless, your labor directly benefits your community, and it's labor that you do at will according to your inclinations and abilities. Clearly, says Dr. John, that is a future to fear and to oppose. Sergi, by the way, pointing out, Walmart dropped the smiley face logo years ago when they rebranded themselves to appear less creepy and more trustworthy. That's also when they dropped the hyphen and when they replaced the face with that spark they use to this day. Signed, Sergi, the smell of sparks and smoke. Kyle, I'll be damned. I guess that tells you how much time I spend in Wally World. Oh, my God. So here we are. I've been filibobstering for something like an hour and 15 minutes, and we can take a break and maybe fire up a bit of a front porch, depending on the circumstances and who wants to play. Oh yeah, this, by the way, and I don't know quite what to do about it. Our buddy Robert in Australia alerted me to something that, well, mercifully, I read it early enough this morning that I'd not yet had breakfast, so I didn't have to worry about losing anything. Why can't these people just go somewhere and sit around and play in their money? Honest to God, I don't know. I mean, this individual, if there was any justice in the universe, every time she looked in the mirror, it would be like the cataclysmic scene from Carrie. Just blood everywhere. Condoleezza Rice, who once was, and I know this is going to make you scream into the night, who once was a Jimmy Carter Democrat and then saw the light of the blinking ATM that is the right wing in this country, who, just as Brian Fisher is a proud son of Stanford, she is a proud daughter thereof, Condoleezza Rice has been named to the board of directors of Dropbox. Why? I mean, why couldn't they name her to the board of directors of Amalgamated Death and Destruction like she belongs there? Why couldn't she form her own chapter of women who scream at people who work at the jewelry counter at Neiman Marcus? Put her on the goddamn board of Salvatore Ferragamo. Although I'd kind of hate to do that. I was passing through the airport on one of my recent trips. I know what it was. I was coming home from New York, and there's a Ferragamo store in the Atlanta airport, and just because I'm constantly thinking of my wife and my daughters, I stopped in there and I looked at those shoes. And then I looked at the price. And then I saw stamped inside the shoe, handmade in Italy. I think it was Florence. And I thought of the leather, and I thought of the shoemaker, the cobbler. And this is not being a fashion ass. This is me thinking about what Dr. John was just writing about, the value of labor. If those shoes were $600 a pair, and if, in fact, the cobbler who makes those shoes, who is an expert who has been making those shoes for God knows probably all his or her life, who has health care and a meaningful pension and all the appurtenant benefits that go with a civilized modern state. And I don't know the economics of this, but could it be argued that a pair of shoes should be $600? Could the argument be made that the only reason you can get away with buying a pair of shoes in Wally World for 15 or 20 bucks is because those shoes are being made by a slave in a slave labor camp factory in, say, China? Or Myanmar? Or Bangladesh? Or Sri Lanka? Or Vietnam? Is that a conversation worth having? Or are we just grateful for the fact that we proles can go and buy ourselves a new pair of Chinese tennis shoes when the previous ones fall off our feet? Do we in this country, and especially the so-called developed world, even have any idea of the value of anything? Now, I'm not that conversant with, say, Salvatore Ferragamo shoes, except to know that kind of Sleazy Rice, who has been named to the board of directors of godforsaken Dropbox, has apparently a passion for them and was busy shopping for them on, I forget, what day was it? September 11, 2001, maybe? But, for instance, there is, and I do know a little bit more about this, because when the occasion is available, I love to go stomping around out in the woods, incidentally, you cannot do worth a damn in Salvatore Ferragamo pumps. But in a place called, and I don't know if it's pronounced Berlin or Berlin, Wisconsin, there is to this day a family-owned factory that for a price will make you the drop-dead best pair of going out and stomping around in the woods boots you have ever owned in your life. I know nothing about their politics. I know nothing about their ideas of what the ideal state would be. But I do know that if you got $600 banging around that you're not doing anything with, they will make you a pair of boots that will fit your foot and no one else's. And I don't see that as a luxury item. I see that as something being properly made. Instead of asking a foot to conform to a boot, why not make the boot conform to the foot? And the thing is, they know that when they make that pair of boots for you, you may not need another pair of boots from them for the rest of your life. But you're going to fall so much in love with them that you're going to tell everybody you know, listen, if you got the money rattling around, buy these, and you won't spend $1,000 over 10 years on more boots. Maybe that's what this stuff is supposed to cost. Maybe the rest of this is economic illusion. Maybe that's what all of globalism is. Thank you, Jenny. Berlin. Okay. Jenny says, hi, Bob. Hi, Jenny. Thank you. And no, I do not have a pair of them. I've just, well, sort of lusted after them. Because I love craftsmanship like that. And the question is why there aren't, you know, a dozen such factories around this country. Whatever. So, yeah, I've been filibobstering long enough. We're going to go to our front porch conversation here in fairly short order. We will take a brief break. And by the way, a reminder, all of this is listener supported. Because of the way things worked out last week, because we didn't get to get a program in on Thursday, and because of the way I didn't count Friday. Anyway, we're at least $100 down. And if anybody wants to help out with that, it's much appreciated. You know where the PayPal button is, and you also know where the traditional mail address is. So let me... find a couple of tunes that can carry us through for a couple of minutes. You're listening to listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Terrible trouble, and I stay here just
8 minutes past the hour, and we are getting ready to start the Wednesday, the prayer meeting front porch Wednesday portion of the program. I was trying to figure out what to call it. Good evening, everybody. We have the group on board. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bobby. Give us a scare there for a minute. The music stopped.
Things don't work the way they work at home here. So, I apparently don't have a 9 minute song to put on. You know, like Led Zeppelin in the old days of DJing. Let's see. Sparky is with us. Devin is with us. Jeremy is with us.
Devin may be eating dinner.
Back and forth. Okay. Sergi is with us.
Hello there, Bob.
How are you, Sergi?
I am fine. I'm currently at the Wendy Davis Fort Worth South Field office waiting for the phone bank to start so I can enter data from it and help out.
Awesome. Awesome. It's inspiring. It's inspiring to see young people getting involved and being part of the process when it's so easy just to sort of bail out. Our old buddy Horst is with us from clear across the planet. Come in, please, Horst. Really, I did the voice and nothing.
He was there just a minute ago.
Well, see, I'm not the only one who goes away and there's no music or anything to tell you. And Waggy's with us. Hey, Waggy.
Hello, hello.
Oh, horses have microphone problems.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure he'll get those worked out. So, anybody got anything to bring to the table this fine prayer meeting Wednesday?
Yeah, Bob, I called my three representatives again today, so I'm not letting up.
Good. Don't. I've got requests out in all three of those.
Good, because I told them you were coming. Again.
Okay, now just stop that. I heard the smirk. But no, I appreciate you doing it, Jeremy. I really, really do. It turns out it is hard to get much in the way of meetings, but we've had a couple of dandies, and this being the week before, I guess we celebrate when God sent a rabbit to lay a chocolate egg. It's tough to get meetings, but we're plugging away, and I think if I can get the technology to cooperate. Well, you remember what happened last time, but anyway, some of this stuff will run a little bit more smoothly. It's not unbearable right now. But anybody who does want to send a note to their representative or their senators is welcome to do so, and please let me know you have so I can reach out to them.
Go ahead and try it, Horace, if you can hear me.
Okay, how's this?
There you are.
Okay, good. Great. Morning, everybody.
If you say so.
Yeah. Well, it's morning anyway. We'll see about the good part.
Any burrs under your saddle? Any bees in your bonnet?
I'm just on my second cup of coffee right now. I don't even know what's going on yet today.
I understand completely.
I know what day it is for me.
Yeah?
It's Social Security Direct Deposit Day.
Woohoo!
They go by your birthday now, or close to it. So when I set it up, they made it so it's the third Wednesday of every month.
And meanwhile, Brian Fisher thinks that you're some sort of socialist. Because you never paid a penny into that, did you, Sparky?
No, not over 40 years of work life, I never paid a penny.
No, no, this is just wealth redistribution from those poor put-upon Koch brothers. What did he say? Welfare for everybody?
I started putting into Social Security when I was 14. My uncle put it, me and my cousin to work tearing down old buildings he had on this property he just bought. He had a business that he set up in Nevada City, California.
I started when I was 13. I have you beat.
Oh, God, the competition is on.
But I'm retired now. By the time you're retired, I'll probably be gone.
Maybe. Probably about 70.
In 8 years?
No, almost 40.
Oh, the big news here in the North State was that wreck last week.
Oh, that was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Have they come up with a definitive cause on it?
Not that I've read. All I know, the headline in the paper, they identified the four people they from DNA that were burnt beyond recognition today or yesterday. But I've driven that part of the freeway hundreds of times going to Sacramento and going to places I was working down that way. The freeway is, the center divider has, I drew a blank here for a minute. It's planted with the.
Well, is there anything particularly challenging about that stretch of highway? Is there anything particularly challenging about that stretch of highway?
No. For some reason, the FedEx guy lost control of his vehicle.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. What?
Came across oleanders. That's what it is, oleanders. They're like a kind of a bamboo-type plant. I mean, they have the thick stalks. They'll stop a car, but they won't stop a big 18-wheeler. My dad's friend has a tow service, and anytime they go down and there's a car that went through, they usually get stuck in the middle. They have to pull them off in the direction they went into the plant because everything leans over with the car. When you pull it back, it's like bungee stakes come up and it stops the whole thing and it just binds it up if it's a car.
Well, I looked up and saw this business going on out in Nevada, and I wanted to kick some furniture. Because this time through, the baggers showed up with their freedom protectors. They were going to kill them some government.
Yeah, you see that guy that was up on the overpass?
Yeah, with the scope and his rifle barrel sticking through the gap between the concrete barriers.
Yeah.
One platoon of Marines, and these guys be pissing their pants.
Well, they need to show up with armored vehicles, and they run off. They turn tail with their horses and run.
But the larger point is that these people actually think they want a shooting war with the government. And I find that frightening.
Wasn't that kind of the way the Civil War started? I mean, before the first actual battle?
That's my recollection, yeah.
Like, this is not going to be a big deal. It's going to be a cakewalk. And then, like, after the first shots were exchanged, and to kind of sit back and reevaluate the position.
Well, both sides were guilty of that, Horst, because remember, before First Bull Run, the gentlemen and their ladies of Congress rode out in their carriages with picnic baskets,
right,
to watch the insurrection get put down, and wound up getting caught in the rout and the retreat of the Union Army from that first battle.
That's what these militia AI-waving 15 wannabes want, is a new civil war. That's what they really want. They want to see it happen.
They think they do.
But all they have to do now is wait till that guy goes to sell his cattle.
Well, I mean, they've got a lien, right?
Yeah, that's where they, I mean, if they go to, I mean, because all those ranchers, they take their cattle to a cattle auction somewhere to sell. I mean, that's where the buyers go. And so all you have to do is have some BLM guys there. So,
but I mean, there's
rangers or whatever they are, and as soon as he sells his cattle, they just slap the auctioneer with a seizure notice.
And yet, for all that Brian Fisher says, we all want, you know, we all want everything for free, it would appear that, I mean, I can imagine, old, what's his name, Cleveland, what? Bundy. Yeah, because I saw that name Bundy, and I thought, oh, Jesus, is this Al or Ted? they're the ones that want something for free. And to hell with the rest of us, because, you know, that land, we spend so much time on this program talking about the commons, that land is part of the commons. And anybody who is familiar with overgrazing in the West knows what a, you know, what a hellscape it creates. And I guess I'm curious, Sparky, to know if anybody there in the nascent free state of Jefferson has hauled out their Gadsden flags and hollered, you know, you can have my cattle when you pry them from my cold, dead fingers.
No, they were over at the chili cook-off at the fairgrounds. We're getting ready for the rodeo this weekend. And they had a pre-event there, and they had a big display with their... They don't have the Gadsden flag, so the state of Jefferson's got the double X flag. The historical flag from the first time they did the state of Jefferson in 1940.
Oh, so it's a it's a heritage thing.
Oh, yeah.
Good God.
And generations is stupid.
And it, well, and apparently it's genetically transmittable, Horst.
Yeah.
Well, a little thing called World War II came along and stopped them back then.
I tell you what bothers me, well, out of many things from this story, but one thing I find especially infuriating is it just really underscores how little people understand what the government is supposed to be. I mean, this guy is out there saying the federal government is trying to steal my, or, you know, whatever, my right to graze on this property that my family's been squatting on fair and square for since the 1870s or something, as if the government's some, you know, some alien entity that just, you know, arrived on Earth one day like aliens to come steal all the water or something. You know, it's us. He's taking money from all of us, you know.
He is stealing it.
Exactly.
And
calling it his own.
Right, and I particularly loved that line about, you know, we were here first. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. you and except for all the people that were there before then, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll just have to have a little chat with a few indigenous folks who were here 20,000 years before you were, and we'll work out that whole who was here first thing there, Cliven.
Since we're speaking of these creepy religious Mormon bastards, did anyone catch the part that the same church that creepy beady-eyed bastard Jim Duggar goes to was grooming sex slaves?
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That is just sickening. And, of course,
so you see the hypocrisy there.
Well, but the fact of the matter is, that whole Quiverful movement does nothing but breed or groom young women for sexual slavery. I mean, what do you call it when every time a woman begins to ovulate, you impregnate her? I mean, that's pretty much sexual slavery in the first place.
Point taken, Will.
and whether or not she's well paid by some cable network for it is really sort of beside the point. So, it's a disgusting story. Let's see, where is it? Yeah, there it is. And it's all come out in a lawsuit. And every time I see that somebody's suing over some sort of religious impropriety to which they've been subjected, I always think of that poor young woman from Texas who sued the church in Texas for beating the snot out of her during an exorcism. And the Texas Supreme Court said, oh, no, if we let you sue the church, that violates their freedom of religion. Ew. Yeah, this is the lawsuit that was filed, and the story's over at Right Wing Watch. Oh, by the way, here's the fun thing. This Phillips guy who has been sued, the guy who was allegedly grooming the woman as his personal sex object, he's a pal of Kirk Cameron, who swears nobody will let him say in the name of Jesus. It's too much. Oh, and
I got nothing.
No, I know. The young woman in question is named Lourdes Torres. And she says in the lawsuit paper she was groomed from the time she was 15 years old. Now, bear in mind, the Douglas Phillips, the defendant, was married at the time. And we're not talking about polygamists here. He told the young girl that he and she would be together because his wife, and this is a quote, was going to die soon. No indication there of whether or not Jesus was going to call her home, or maybe Douglas Phillips was going to help her along the way. But they even put her in a couple of their weird little movies. One of them's called Alone But Not Alone, and then there's a documentary called Return of the Daughters. Creepy.
Did it mention that the pastor quit?
They threw him out or whatever. Only once the story became well known. And this is, and it's no laughing matter. This is the apparently, this Douglas Phillips repeatedly groped and touched Torres inappropriately, and then this line, and masturbated on her against her wishes and over her objections. And this happened for two years running. And I'm not pointing this out for prurient reasons or just to gratuitously. No, this is the Quiverful movement, where they have to constantly be making babies. What's with this masturbated on her against her wishes and over her objections business? I mean, doesn't their God like strike people dead for doing that? Remember poor old Onan?
At the very least, it's hard to imagine a baby coming out of that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if that's their objective.
Yeah, talk about doing it the hard way. Yeah.
No, God slays everyone but these fools who are hypocrites in their own right.
And on top of it all, the defendant in this case was a, one, two, three, lawyer. The suit papers say Phillips was the dominant authority figure in Ms. Torres' life and family. He made himself her spiritual father. He was her authority figure with regard to where she lived, where she worked, where and how she worshipped, her education, her interpersonal relationships, her time and schedule, and even acted as her counselor. In other words, Phillips was the pastor of her church, her boss, her landlord, and the controller of all aspects of her life. Obedience to Phillips was obedience to God in this total institution.
Man. I would love to see TLC force Jim Duggar to speak out on this, but it'll never happen.
No, not as long as the checks are clearing.
I'm sorry to be a little bit out of loop on this one. I haven't heard this story yet, but are these people connected to a specific denomination or something? Are they Dominionists, or what are they?
Well, they are the horse. They're what is called the Quiverful movement.
I've heard of the Quiver Babies thing, but I didn't realize that there was a specific. Well, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you have to make a lot of babies so that the babies will grow up and make a lot of babies, and eventually they plan to win some sort of population war against the rest of the world and take over the world for right-wing fundamentalist Christianity by sheer force of numbers.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I don't think the numbers really work out.
Well, the metaphor is like arrows in a quiver or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
We're going to shoot our babies out at you and kill you with them.
we're talking about people like the Duggars.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this one.
The Duggars are on Kid 19. The last one almost killed the wife and the baby.
And these are this guy's a personal friend of the Duggars.
Okay, the Duggars I'm familiar with. This has been a little while since I've
yeah,
heard
this
them
is that's news. That that's them. Yeah.
All right.
I could never figure that. Why would you want that many kids?
Because money.
And they did it the hard way.
From the government or from
I mean, they've got Grifter. Sponsorships on TLC, but make no mistake, they've collected their fair. What are they in Arkansas? They've collected their fair share of government funds along the way.
Arkansas, Carolina, or somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's Arkansas. Something in me says Arkansas. There's a bunch of stories out there that are disturbing, and probably none more so than. Well, you guys remember when Dr. Allen invited me out to Waco to talk to the Friends of Peace out there about mountaintop removal.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, he kindly drove me up to see the little community of West Texas, where the ammonium nitrate fertilizer plant had blown up.
Yeah, they just had the anniversary of that, didn't they?
Yeah. Exactly. And on the anniversary, guess what they announced they're hoping to do?
Build the plant back?
Yeah, build another fertilizer plant. Because, you know, after all, it happened once. Lightning never strikes the same place twice, right?
Is it safe to breathe there?
No, I don't know. I don't hang out in the woods that often to see where they... All I know is... Lightning probably going to start a lot of forest fires in a month or two.
Right, and in this particular case, in light of the fact that it was negligently maintained in the first place, and in light of the fact that it's Texas and there's no regulation, and in light of the fact that there wasn't sufficient insurance in the first place, what would you calculate the odds of this happening again?
Hmm. 50-50?
Yeah, and you know what? That's not I'm not taking cards in that game.
That might be generous.
But no, when I was there, you know, it was fully, well, I was there in September, and it happened in April, and if you drove around back there, you could still smell the ammonium nitrate in the air.
Well, that's what I was saying. Didn't they have the area cordoned off specifically because of environmental hazards? Or
yeah, there were streets you couldn't go down. It was amazing. There was a place that was just a concrete pad that had a couple of pieces of patio furniture sitting out in front of it, where the whole thing had just been. I mean, it was just gone.
And if this is Texas, I mean, if it must be pretty bad if they're actually acknowledging that there's a hazard, you know, associated with this place.
But the thing is, a number of people died, and some of the people who died were first responders who went in and were not told what was going on, and then had to deal with the explosion that killed them.
Familiar story.
But beyond that, like I said, it was 5 months later. Let's see, 9 months. Yeah, that's 5 months later, and you could still smell the ammonium nitrate.
Does that have anything to do with the microfine particulates?
Yes, it certainly does. I'll bet you saw my Facebook page. It absolutely does. That in that explosion, a lot of those things were created, which were those ultrafines were breathed by people who weren't whose houses weren't affected, who were just living in the community. And just as is the case in Appalachia, give it 15 years, and then watch the cancer clusters blossom. And they want to build another one. And just as is the case with the water disaster in West Virginia, everybody's talking about, is the stuff still in the pipes? But nobody's asking what's going to happen, in 15 years when the cancer clusters come out. How do you even approach the issue of asking the question of how many people were exposed out of 300,000 human beings, and of those 300,000 human beings, what level of exposure did they have? And so even though West is a much smaller community, how do you assess that exposure? Does everybody get a chest X-ray? Does everybody get an MRI or a PET scan or a CT scan? Well, not by God in Texas, I don't think you do.
Only if you want to pay for it.
I mean, their high school is gone now. Their junior high school is gone now. I guess the kids are being bussed elsewhere.
Well, is there even such a thing as a body tissue test for, levels of pHs and anything like that anyway?
It can be tested for. I mean, it can be pathologically sought out. And if you see
at the time of exposure, right, or shortly.
Well,
if you get cancer that develops 15 years later, is it still going to be in the tissues, or do we even know that?
Yeah, I don't know if you can even know that. But I would guess that sampling can be, but then again, taking a lung tissue sample is probably a bit of a booger. But it just kind of broke my heart when I saw it.
Learning lessons from experience is not something we appear to be very well suited for.
And I don't know if that's us as humanity or us as the United States of America. Any guesses?
I don't know. It seems to be pretty deeply baked into the cake to me. There's stories like this all over the world.
But are they in places all over the world where folks should know better? I mean, there are places in the world where they're trying to deal with them too. For instance, I called the expert on the ultrafines when I saw that story about London being socked in with a smog in Northern Europe, and I just simply asked, is some of this going to be ultrafines? He said, absolutely. I said, and I trust that the UK is not taking ultrafines as serious. He said, no, they're not. He said, on the other hand, if you ask the Europeans on the continent, they'll tell you, oh, hell yeah, they are taking it seriously.
I think it's a money battle, though. I'm sure that they probably have ultrafine problems like in areas like China and India, for instance, but
Oh God, look at the smog in the cities, especially in the coal, the coal areas of the Chinese mainland.
No, I'm probably just bathing in it here myself for that matter. We've got a coal fire plant just down the hill from me.
Oh Jesus.
Some of that coal probably comes from next door to you, Bob, I bet.
I wouldn't doubt it in the least. Oh, and speaking of coal, I was reading a story on Ukraine, and the unrest and the occupations and where the, you know, where the disaffected folks are occupying government buildings in the eastern part of the country and everything. And somewhere way down in the article, I read something along the lines of the problems have arisen in the Rust Belt regions of the nation and the former coal-producing cities. And I thought, son of a gun, looky there. Because it's the same story all over again, only in this case, people in the beaten and bedraggled mono-economy portion of the country are being leveraged to march and you know, do the bidding of somebody. But once again, a coal-producing region turns out to be the most economically depressed part of the country. How about that? I don't think there's anywhere on this planet where an area has been primarily a coal producer that area is even remotely prosperous. Can you think of any?
Seems to be true for other things, too, like diamonds and...
Oh, yeah, it's the resource curse in general.
Rare earth minerals.
Well, wouldn't the money people know to stay away from those damaged areas for
investment? They don't have to go there themselves, if that's what you mean.
I mean, I guess the one question would be, what about Saudi Arabia, Kuwait? But that's because there's a little plutocratic oligarchy there that's filthy rich. But you never hear about the sorry state of existence of the of the virtually enslaved people who do all the grunt work there, and those are mainly folks from India and Pakistan. And maybe what, Indonesia?
Probably.
Yeah, but the people in Saudi Arabia and over there, they know the oil's going to run out.
Just hopefully not in their lifetimes.
Well, they know they can sell the sun to Europe. They're working on the big solar plants they're going to put.
Oh, yeah. The Saudis
North Africa, and they, you know, they're trying to get the technology to run Europe on solar from North Africa.
I'd always thought that if
Saudi Arabia.
If the petroleum and big energy companies were run with any kind of business sense at all, that beyond just like the current quarter, they would have been started working on monopolizing solar power years ago. They could have done it. You know, you secure all the patents and, you know, get your lines to all the necessary resources staked out. It could be done. And they pretend like it's not even there. And that to me is like just the business sense of it seems so lacking. And they could make us pay through the nose for solar power if they wanted to. And they probably still can. They're just working it out, the details possibly. But I don't get it. I mean, because they have to live on this planet. You know, there's really no, you can run and hide to a place where the scenery is nice, but you're still breathing those microfine particles in the air too. And you're still drinking water that's getting more and more difficult to detoxify if there's enough of it left. I mean, don't get me started on what fracking is doing to our water supplies when we're already running short. It just seems to be it's not even short-term thinking. It's just there's just no-term thinking here.
Well, the power companies in California are thinking about that. They'll buy anybody that develops a wind farm or a solar thing, they'll buy the power that they're going to make.
Are we talking about private companies? I mean, like, California's got, or maybe I'm just thinking L.A., but don't they have, like, very strong municipal power and water and that kind of thing that's not necessarily privately held?
Well, L.A.'s a municipal utility.
Right.
In L.A., but then there's Southern Edison or something. And then Pacific Graph and Extortion owns the North State. But they're buying power from everybody that I mean, if you put solar panels on your house, they'll take the power, all the excess powers. They just won't pay you for it.
Right. That's what, you know, that's what the feed in, that's what the feed in tariff is about. And incidentally, I was just reading the other day that apparently it's worked so well in Germany that they're going, that the conservative government of Angela Merkel is going to do away with it. Because the big corporate polluters are crying, you know, we're poor. Because after all, what's the name of it? RWE, I think Brother Albert and I were talking about it a few weeks back, declared a $7 billion loss in 1 year alone because of all the sustainable energy that was being produced in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, I have to, and I have, this is a completely separate topic, but did you see the story about how the Republican Party in Wisconsin is going to vote on a secession platform?
I did see that.
Mm-hmm. Heard about it.
Wisconsin.
Ed did a segment on his show about it.
I mean, this that drove me crazy. And I thought about poor John Nichols over at The Nation because a couple, you know, I first met him a couple of years ago at Fighting Bob North, and he absolutely gave a stem winder that had the attendees just shouting and ready to hit the streets and talking about the Iron Brigade. Those Wisconsin Civil War volunteers led by Arthur MacArthur, who was Douglas MacArthur's daddy, I think, or maybe granddaddy.
Doesn't their state flag harken to that?
No, because the Wisconsin state flag has a timber guy and a farmer or something, or and 1848 on the banner underneath it. I only remember that because I remember how outraged Fox was when Obama was campaigning in Wisconsin, and they said that he was he had gone full on pro union and was appearing in front of the flag of local 1848. God, those people are idiots.
But no,
the Iron Brigade is what broke the Confederate ranks at Chickamauga to save the Union. You know, if you go to places like Shiloh, there are row upon row of graves of young men who marched all the way from Wisconsin to West Tennessee to preserve the Union.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these Republicans in Wisconsin who want to vote to sanction secession. I mean, why don't they just go to Shiloh and you know a big one and just let fly at the tombstones? Oh, that made me crazy.
Well, that's kind of how I feel with these State of Jefferson guys. They're wackadoodles.
Yeah, but it's...
Although somebody stole the sign in front of the propane distributor down the road. He had a State of Jefferson sign out on the highway, and it's gone now. I kept wanting to, I was going to go down there at night and steal it. Or I see my congressman signs. Doug LaMaffa, he's one of us, and I wanted to put on there. No, he's not.
Oh, by the way, here's another study that will, or here's another story that will give the international members of the Horn Family Commune the screaming shivers. You know, we've talked a lot about corporal punishment in this country. Apparently, the Journal of Family Psychology contains a report, the latest issue, a report on research regarding children and spankings. And as it turns out, what they found out is that, A, spanking doesn't accomplish anything, but ancillary to that, they discovered that a four-year-old is spanked on average 936 times per year. That's about three times a day.
A what-year-old?
A four-year-old.
You said four. 900 and... Wow. That's like a full-time job.
Hold the phone here. 900... Seriously?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, is there details about what they count as spankings? I mean, because that just doesn't, like, three, four times a day. I mean, do they count, like, slaps on the hand as a spanking thing?
Okay, here's how the study worked. There were real-time audio recordings of parents interacting with their kids. And the researchers had given the parents some rules to work with. Don't spank very much. Only spank for what was determined to be serious misbehavior. And only spank if it is the absolute last thing you can do to get good behavior or compliance or whatever we're going to call it. So there were 33 families involved in the study. They were recorded anywhere between 4 to 6 evenings. 90% of the incidents involving spankings involved what was called noncompliance, like a refusal to stop sucking their fingers or eating the wrong way or leaving the house without permission. And what is probably most disturbing is that in 49% of the instances recorded, the parent was angry before administering the spanking. And this comes, oddly enough, from research done by a professor at Southern Methodist University.
Bob.
Yeah.
This dovetails with the other study about trauma, stress, and sperm.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw. Yeah. But
all of this is in the boys is all being passed on to the next generation as well.
Yeah. Share that with people stress. If you don't mind.
And now, what were you saying, Bob?
No, I just said share the details with folks so they'll know what you're talking about.
Well, basically, the study shows that having stress and trauma will alter the DNA of males. It doesn't seem to be species specific, but basically that will alter their DNA, and then they will pass that DNA on, so their offspring will be preloaded with that with the effects of stress. So all the heart disease, diabetes, and everything you can get from stress, even mental illness, that is passed on. Which also is, I think, the first solid scientific explanation of borderer syndrome.
And there's a larger tie-in with the emerging science of epigenetics too. I mean, they're all yeah. all these little peripheral things that happen around a conception and a childbirth. We're just now beginning to learn the enormous impact that has on everything from the DNA to how it's expressed to, these things, they just fall like dominoes throughout someone's life.
Yeah. My understanding was this was the actual DNA and not the not the epigenome in this case. So basically any stress that that the man has before conception is passed on. Those effects are passed on. And they stay, and they stay for, you know, generations. You know, and, until, you know, maybe something changes that DNA. It just stays there. So, you know, if you look at people of the Scots Irish persuasion, for example, there have been
came over here pissed off and stayed pissed off ever since.
Centuries. Yeah. That could explain a lot.
Well, just the concept of the honor culture in general. You know, you're looking at me, and then the next thing you know, someone's dead. Or bleeding, at least.
Yeah, we had one of those stories out of Alabama recently. A woman and her son went to a truck stop, allegedly to have a discussion about the fact that her son was in love with a man. And the son walked out to the car, and the woman pulled out a gun and blew his lover away. Of course, the Alabama authorities have declared that they are quite certain it wasn't a hate crime. No, couldn't possibly be. Sometimes you wonder, well, you wonder how humanity made it from one century to the next, but given what we learned about how to wipe ourselves out in the last century, you got to sit and say, well, we made it to the 21st. Do I hear 22? 22. Going once, going twice. 22, 22. Anybody give me 22?
Yeah, now we have nuclear weapons and nuclear reactors, so. And there's a freak out now that if things go wrong in Ukraine, all their reactors will melt down.
It's like what I've been saying. People have got to watch those things. Or, you know, they have to be maintained just to keep them behaving. Those cooling ponds have to keep running.
Well, we have to get out of here fairly quickly, but yeah. Just a quick question. Who is more competent to run those reactors?
Nobody.
I don't know, but that's one big argument against the idea of letting the South secede again and leaving them on their own. And are you going to put a bunch of people who are going to pray over reactor in charge of it because they've got them? You know, science deniers are not going to.
Hey,
be able to
look,
keep
I've
things.
Told this. Yeah, I've told the story before about the reactor in Alabama where the guys went looking for the gas leak with the open candle flame.
Right. It's got to be around here somewhere.
And then, I don't know, once the fire starts, you lay hands on it and pray? I mean, what, honest to God, what is this, Blazing Saddles? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Duck? Oh, I watched that movie with Ferg the other night, and we've been giggling one-liners at each other for a week now. Well, look what the cat dragged in. What's happening in the clean world? Oh, God. After the night with Madeline Kahn? What's happening in the clean world? Hey, guys, we got to get out of here. It's been fun, but hopefully we'll get all this fired up and on time next time. And mainly today, this evening was late because I was trying to make one thing work one way, and well, the electrons and the packets just weren't having any of it.
Leave it just all set up the way it is right now?
Well, yeah, I can. That's the whole point. I had to go through several different permutations, Sparky, to get to this.
I was going to say the sound quality on this end is pretty good. Like not too different from studio even, so for what that's worth.
Yeah, see, this magnificent mixer that sometimes behaves and sometimes doesn't, isn't even in the chain right now. So that, you know, it tells you something, which is really frustrating. Oh, this is a great comment. I sent a note of thanks to Asa. Asa was the only one to respond to fundraising this evening, but I sent a note of thanks to him, and he said, "You're welcome, Brother Bob. Can you imagine what topics a group of asshat right-wing knuckle-walkers would be talking about if they had a forum like you had with the listeners today?" And that just makes
Benghazi.
Me...
Benghazi!
Yeah, exactly. Benghazi. And what about Benghazi? And why is maybe the Bureau of Land Management is trying to cover up for Benghazi. Oh God.
Ugh. Fast and Furious.
by the way, a bunch of teabaggers sued the IRS today to try to compel them to tell about the I don't know the secret transmogrifying troglodyte death ray that that what's her name was going to use on right wing organizations that Benghazi. Yeah, just say yeah, right. But you guys have a good night, and thanks for joining in.
At least we have a place to start tomorrow, Bob.
Yeah, that's true. But thanks for joining in, everybody, and hopefully we'll have another lovely conversation tomorrow with a merry bunch of rambunctious conversationalists. You guys take care.
See you, Bob.
All right. Bye now. We are at the end of the program this evening. Thanks again to ASA for helping out with fundraising. Anybody else that wants to help along the way, it is very much appreciated indeed. Thanks to everybody who makes all this go. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Lottie. And thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox, to Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And, yes, as you know, ACHE Act. .org, ACHEACT.ORG. Rick Smith is next. This is The Horn.